Well, good afternoon, everybody. Lovely to be with you here at 4 o'clock. Those of you who don't know me, my name is Simon. I'm kind of in charge of the youth, so kind of the 11s to 18s here at St Mary's. And it's wonderful to come and speak to you here on this Remembrance Sunday all-age service. Just as we start, there's going to be some pictures coming up on the screen, so hopefully you can see them. And as they just kind of scroll through, guys at the back, these are genuine pictures from the First World War. So they're in colour. And the reason, so they're black and white photos that have had the colour kind of artificially added back into them. And I don't know about you, but seeing pictures like that totally changes how I think about the First World War. It totally changes what I think about this symbol. What is this? Obviously, easy question, is it? Yeah, it's a poppy, isn't it? And what do we wear poppies? Why do we wear poppies this kind of year? Yeah. Yeah, to remember the soldiers who died. But the thing is, normally when I think about kind of the First World War or war in general, where I get my information from is things like these. Really big, heavy books with exciting titles like The First World War Inspired. This one is also called The First World War. And they're just full of like loads and loads and loads of pages with lots of writing and not a whole lot of pictures. And when you see things like that, or I don't know, maybe documentaries on the television or things like that, maybe a list of names like on a war memorial, it doesn't feel all that real. I don't know about other people, but it just doesn't feel that real to me. But when you see those faces and those pictures, you realise that they were real people who really went to war and really died for us, for the freedom that we have in this country today. So, I guess, guys, what does it make us feel when we remember that those are real people who really died for us? How do we think about war? How does it make us feel when we think about war and people dying and soldiers dying and those sorts of things? Sad. It's tragic, isn't it? And actually, in one sense, there's nothing more we have to say or should ever need to say about war other than it is absolutely awful. So when we look at the poppy, when we think about it, it should remind us of all those people who died, and it should make us sad. And the same is true about this other symbol we've got here, the cross. Now, obviously, when we think about the cross, there's a whole number of different things, different emotions we might feel when we think about the cross and Jesus dying for us. But again, Jesus was a real man who really lived and who really died on the cross. He's an incredible man, a man like no other, a sinless man who kind of made lame people able to walk again, who opened the eyes of the blind, who made deaf people able to hear again, who fed 5,000 plus people with a packed lunch. And this incredible man, this real man, he died on the cross. And it's awful. And the thing is, both the poppy and the cross, they're symbols that help us to remember, as I said, remember real people who really died, but they're people who really died for us. So yes, we feel sad as we think about Jesus dying on the cross. And yes, we feel sad as we think of the people who've died in wars over the past 100 or so years. But in both cases, we should also feel thankful. Because they are people who died, as I said, for us. So people are... Sorry, that's my daughter. She's seen me. Where was I? I've completely forgotten it. They're people who died for us. So the people in the war, they died so that we can enjoy the freedom that we have today. They died for the country that we call home. And Jesus, he died to save us and to rescue us. And we're going to think a bit more about that in the second half of our talk. Brilliant. Well, coming up on the screen is going to be, I think, the easiest quiz you have ever done, okay? So let me explain what's going to happen. There'll be two words coming up on the screen, and all I want you to do is to simply tell me which of those words you think is the better thing. Do you understand the quiz? That's not very confident. Do you understand the quiz? Yes. So, there you go. Which is a better thing, peace or war?
Peace.
Not very confident. Let's have it louder on the next one. What's second one. Which is better?
Rest.
There we go. Getting better. And the last one?
Life.
Brilliant. Thank you. Yeah, we've already thought about two symbols that help us to remember things, important things. Thought about the poppy. We've thought about the cross. And now we're going to think about a third one. It's set up for us here, actually. It's the bread and the wine that we share in communion or share in the Lord's Supper, whatever we might want to call it. It's the same thing. And the bread and the wine we share at communion is a picture of, or is a symbol of peace and friendship and life. It's a symbol of peace and friendship and life. You see, while there are definitely sad things to remember on a day like Remembrance Sunday, there is also wonderful things to celebrate. There are wonderful things to celebrate because peace is a good thing and peace should be celebrated. So 100 years ago today, when the guns fell silent at the end of the First World War, that was a good, good thing. The fact that Germany and Britain were no longer enemies was a good thing. And as Jesus dies on the cross, yes, in some ways, it's horrific. It's something that makes us feel so sad as we think about the fact that Jesus was so wonderful and yet died a death like that. At the same time, it was also a wonderful thing. And the reason it is such a wonderful thing is in those verses that Elizabeth just read for us. So let's have those open on your sheets if you've still got them with you there. Just to set the kind of picture for you, this is the night before Jesus dies. And it's the biggest kind of dinner, the biggest meal of the year for Jewish people. It's the Passover Supper. And the Passover Supper is all about remembering what God had done for his people. All about remembering how God had rescued and saved his people. And in the middle of that meal, Jesus did something utterly, utterly astonishing. Because he stood up in that meal, he took the bread, he thanked his Father God for it, he broke it and gave it to his disciples saying, "Take and eat. This is my body that is given for you." Stop and think about that for a minute. They are in the middle of the most important meal of the year. A meal that is all about God's rescue plan. And Jesus has the audacity to stand there and say, that meal, God's rescue, it's all about me. That rescue is all about me, he says. And just the same thing with the cup after the meal. He says, this is my blood of the new covenant, which is poured out for the forgiveness of sins. You see, I guess if we're talking about rescue, it does slightly beg the question, doesn't it? Well, what is it a rescue from? And the answer is there in that verse 28. His blood is poured out for the forgiveness of sins. Now, sins, I guess, particularly us adults, we might think of sins as the bad things that we do occasionally. Those wrong things that kind of sneak into our lives. But actually, sin, it's a far more fundamental thing than that. Sin is where we say, no, God, you don't get to be God. You're not in charge of my life. I am. And the consequence of that, it sounds quite scary, but it means that we make ourselves enemies of God. We make ourselves God's enemies when we sin. See, sin is a very, very serious thing. Which is why when Jesus dies, we can talk about him making peace between us and God. Because where we were enemies, Jesus makes peace. Actually, he does more than that. He doesn't just make peace. He makes us his friends. See, it's not an accident that Jesus, when he's kind of saying, this is how to remember my death, this is what my death is all about, it's not an accident that he gave us a meal, bread and wine to share. See, I don't know about you, I love a good meal. But what makes a meal great isn't actually the quality of the food, is it? I don't know about you, but I would much rather have beans on toast with people that I love than the best steak you've ever tasted with people that I don't like. See, a good meal is all about that friendship that we share with people. And Jesus gives us this meal. He gives us this bread and this wine as a little picture of what he's achieving, of what he's getting us one day in the future. Because one day in the future, this kind of little picture we have as we share a bit of bread and a bit of wine or a bit of grape juice together is going to be a picture of what it's like forever and ever having a feast and a celebration with the Lord Jesus himself and with God the Father. Just to show you this, look down at the verse again. I'm going to read, I haven't got the verses on it. I'm going to read some of it from about halfway down. And I'm going to skip out two words. So pay attention and see if you can spot out which two words I leave out. Then Jesus took the cup, gave thanks, and offered it to them, saying, "Drink from it, all of you. This is my blood of the covenant, which is poured out for many for the forgiveness of sins. I tell you, I will not drink of this fruit of the vine from now on until that day when I drink it anew in my Father's kingdom." Anyone spot it? Which two words did I skip out? Yeah, Elijah. With you. It's amazing. As Jesus has this meal where he's explaining to his friends what his death is all about, he says, I'm not going to drink of this wine and this bread again until I drink it with you in my Father's kingdom. So friends, in a minute, we're going to share this meal. We're going to have some bread and wine. And we're not going to have a little tiny bit, a little tiny sip of wine. We're going to have a cup of wine and a good chunk of pita bread, okay? Because this meal is a celebration. Yes, there's a sense in which we should feel sad. So as we come and take bread and wine later, or it's not wine, it's grape juice today. It's non-alcoholic and fine for everybody who wants to take it or is able to take it. But as we take it, let's do two things. The first thing, yes, let's remember the cross. Let's remember the fact that Jesus died, and that's a sad thing, and that he died for us because we are sinful. So spend a little bit of time kind of, I guess, looking down, thinking about what it cost Jesus. But friends, then let's not just do that. What I also want us all to do, young and old, everybody alike, let's look up and look around at the people here. Because the whole point of this meal is it points forward to what will one day be the reality, where all of us who trust in Christ are sitting around God the Father's banquet table with the Lord Jesus, with God himself, and with one another. So that's what we're going to do in a couple of minutes' time. But right now, let me just say a prayer. Lord Jesus, as we think of the fact that you died for us, that does make us sad. We are sorry for our brokenness, and yet we are at the same time so grateful. We are so thankful that because of your death, we can look forward to a time where we have perfect peace with God as well as with one another. And please would you help us to do both of those things as we eat the bread and drink the grape juice later. Please would we both feel sad as we remember your death, but really happy as we think about the wonderful things, the wonderful celebration you have won for us as well. Amen.